Welcome to Everything Belongs, a podcast for those living, creating, leading, and thriving while in the deep end of life. I'm your host, Madison Morgan, leadership coach, creative consultant, and speaker. I coach soulful visionaries and go-getting mavericks who desire to create art of their lives and take their work both deeper and higher. In this show, I'll be bringing you an overflow of conversations with my favorite thought leaders, teachers, healers, and creatives who inspire me to live more fully in my own power, worth, and wholeness, along with offering some episodes where I share my own practical insights, behind-the-scenes peeks into my process, and tools I use on my own journey. There will not be much we shy away from here because at this table, everything belongs. Therefore, you can expect me to ask the uncomfortable, juicy questions. You can expect that you'll hear people you disagree with on the podcast and maybe even ideas you've never previously considered. I trust you with your own discernment as we take this deep dive. You can expect to laugh, cry, learn, and be challenged by the guests as they share their diverse experiences and views of the world. It's my hope through learning to see that all of it belongs that you will develop a more sovereign way of holding yourself so you can playfully go after the life, relationships, and career you are made for, to let all parts of yourself have a seat at the table, to lead and create from your deepest truth and become your own source of validation, all because you finally know you're worthy of it. All that's required to get started, that you show up curious and willing. Let's dive in. What's up? Happy solstice, happy full moon. If you were in the Northern Hemisphere, we are officially in summer, and my God, in Missouri, it definitely feels like it. Today is rolling, billowing thunderstorms, which is really fun, but it has been blazing hot where I live and very, 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 very humid. So I've been enjoying just having to water my plants extra and really feeling into this sunshine over the weekend. Previous to this episode airing, I got to visit with my father, which was interesting as always, and had a really beautiful solstice just making sun tea and tending to the house, doing a deep clean and shifting the energetics of the home. I personally believe that whenever we clean our home and get rid of things and dust the cobwebs and really just tend to our space, that we are creating space for new, different energy. And goodness, it has definitely felt like that. My dreams have been up, being bizarre as ever. And I feel like this initiation into summer is going to be a really beautiful one. I'm feeling the energetics pick up. And with that, I am definitely picking up the energetics by offering a brand new program. So if you have been following me for a while, you know I've really been teaching and coaching the soul work, the unconscious work, the stories we tell. But I get so many requests for business advice, business consulting from friends, from colleagues, from people on the internet. And I have always been super hesitant to stepping into any sort of business coach type role. And that's for a number of reasons, partly because I really enjoy the soul work and I really wanted to stay doing that. And that the business coaching industry can be sort of ick. And I feel like I've had to unlearn a lot of things to develop a business that feels of deep integrity and also is really generating a lot of money to where I can support the things I want to support, develop a team and pay them well, and do a really good job as a business owner. And whenever I was asked a number of times to create this program or to create something for business owners this year, I felt like a nudge to go for it. And so this summer, I have created a creative business mastermind called Serve It Up. And it is essentially for current business owners, people who already own a business, who are showing up in devotional obedience to their soul. Because again, the soul work and the soul alignment work is pivotal for me in business. This is for people who are committed to sovereign service, who want to stand out as they share their own unique magic. And so if you're someone who has wanting to hire a business coach, if you have a business and are looking for more depth, looking for how to really be a visionary and a CEO and to embody that creative energy, but not lose the structure that you need, this is for you. This is for those who are wanting the foundational integrity, the tool, system, innovative strategies required to create a sustainable business ecosystem, but also want unabashed creative expression. So integral marketing, clear offerings, ease in the way that you show up and sell your offerings that calls in your most aligned clients, then this offering was handcrafted for you. So you can click the link in my show notes or go to madisonmorgan.com/serve-it-up to get on the wait list. This isn't something that I'm launching into the world. It's something that I really want to hand select the right people for this mastermind. So please join the waitlist. I will send you a personal invitation after you are on the waitlist for you to check out all of the details. It would be an honor just to speak with you about this because it is something I'm really excited to share. And as you can probably tell, have been thinking about doing and really getting in alignment personally around this. So we start in August, if you are curious about it, and it is a 90-day intensive. And so if you are wanting, to clarify offerings, to elevate offerings, to really step into your role as the CEO and leader of your business, and you've been doing business either for 6 months, a year, 5 years, 10 years, it doesn't matter how long, if you have been in business and want to really elevate what you are already doing, this is for you. So again, go to madisonmorgan.com/serve-it-up with the dashes in between to get on the wait list and get more information about this. I'm super excited to support you to create a business that is ecological and allows you to serve even more people while standing in your personal integrity. All right, well, let's dive in to the episode today with one of my favorite people. Her name is An Nguyen, and she is a Vietnamese-American women's sexual empowerment coach whose work centers on pleasure as a liberatory practice and fuel for personal empowerment. Anne teaches women how to love their bodies, how to see sexuality as sacred, and how to channel orgasmic pleasure into better relationships, career, leadership, and self-love. Through her coaching and online programs, she reconnects women to their power and their sexuality and facilitates deep transformation for sexual reclamation. Most of all, she's here to make our modern day sexual revolution fun and accessible to all. And she definitely does that. I adore watching her on Instagram dance, and you'll see pictures of her throwing money around and just has such a playful and unique energy around the topic that I find really appealing and attractive. And so I think you're going to love Anne. I personally do. And I love how she, again, makes it so approachable. As someone with sexual trauma and then church trauma regarding sexuality and someone who came out later in life, I find Anne's work to be extremely easy for me to access, whereas some sexual empowerment coaches feel a little bit triggery for me. And so I really appreciate Anne and loved bringing her to the podcast to share with you how she approaches this really sensitive topic in a way that it has levity and joy and playfulness. And I'm so excited for you to hear more from Anne. So let's dive in. Anne, I'm super jazzed to have you on Everything Belongs. As I shared with you, I have adored following you on social media and seeing the way that you embody celebration and beauty, pleasure in a way that feels incredibly sovereign, like it's yours.
Oh, thank you for saying that. So beautiful to receive that reflection.
So how would you describe your work and what you do to someone that you met on the street who has no context for coaching, the healing world?
Yeah, I would still tell them I'm a sexual empowerment coach. And what I do is help women feel really powerful inside of their bodies and to see our sexuality as a force of love and power and transformation and liberation. And yeah, I just help people feel really great about themselves and learn how to have a good time as a mode of getting free and healing.
I love it. Like, as a mode of getting free and healing is like literally how I think so many of us have a relationship with healing that is like really hard. And it's like so much pain. And like, that's yes, that's true. And there's so much healing and letting it be fun and playful and beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think even bringing that element of like fun and play and love into the hard parts is really important, because yeah, I do think that the healing part is something that is missing a lot in more common sex education before these times. So we don't leave that out of the picture, but yeah, we do it through maybe different ways than what most people are used to.
So how did you find yourself as a sex and empowerment coach? Can you tell us the journey?
Yeah. Well, like most people who find themselves in the healing work that they offer, it started with my own healing journey. So I'm a first generation Vietnamese woman. My mom escaped from Vietnam after the war. And so growing up, I really didn't learn anything about sex or my body or pleasure or anything like that. And, you know, as a young person, I witnessed domestic violence in my household. And so that really impacted me from a very, very young age into the formative relationships that I had as a teenager, and that formative time of relationship to sex and sexuality. And so I really operated on, you know, this idea that my sexuality was meant to serve other people and it was meant to be in service for other people. And I would say it wasn't until my 20s where I realized that, oh, maybe sex could be a thing that doesn't just make me feel loved or connected or wanted by people, but that can actually feel good for me, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And so during that time, I tried to research a lot of different things, but really what I saw was more like techniques or toys or things like that, but not really anything that addressed the deeper emotional aspects of sexuality. And so I found one person on YouTube, as people who are searching for sexual answers usually do, go down rabbit holes on the internet. And it was, her name was Layla Martin, and she talked about sexuality as a way to heal and a way to love yourself, and also in a more spiritual context. And that really, really spoke to me. So I sort of dove off the deep end, as I usually do with things that I'm into. And, you know, I joined her year-long sex, love, and relationships coach training. And through that, had to do a lot of intensive work on my own healing. And just the results that happened because of it, it was one of those things where I was like, I can't not share this with the world. This is such a big, like the biggest secret that has been kept from all of us. And I just saw the way that it just really changed everything for me. And so now I just give all of my efforts and all of my heart into sharing it with other people, because I think we all deserve it, every single person.
Thank you so much for sharing that and sharing about how the imprints of a traumatic upbringing, being first generation immigrant, and then also having violence in the home, and how that's such a juxtaposition and contrast to a life of pleasure and celebration, and almost like what a resource to have beauty in your life to support you. Goodness, thank you for sharing that. I'm curious, in that year-long journey where you really started finding, you know, the parts of yourself that felt like celebration, you said there was like the best kept secret. And I'm curious, what was that best kept secret for you? Like, what did you discover in that time?
I think it's almost like if I think about the amount of energy that I was able to start cultivating inside of my body through pleasure and orgasm, I almost want to describe it as like an entire like bomb of like, and in a good way, like a firework of energy, a reserve of energy that was sitting here inside of my body, in between my own legs this whole time. And it was almost like looking within and realizing like, oh, wow, every single thing that I thought I had been trying to get from the outside world my entire life was actually like right here, literally right here, available for me to access. And it is infinite. And it is, so I think like that's the biggest kept secret to me, is that you have this incredible well of internal life source and power and energy inside of you that we just have been so hidden from and had that really suppressed within us. So I think that's the biggest secret. It's like, it's all right there inside of you.
Yeah. There's so many different educators and with people who have very different opinions about sex and if orgasm is important and how many types of orgasms are there. And then I've heard you talk about full body orgasms and like this, the firework that you described. Could you tell us a little bit about orgasm? Like give some education on like what's going on with the orgasm for people with pussies?
Yeah, totally. And, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned the varying, you know, different ideas about it, because one of the things that I'm really passionate about is that there is no orgasmic hierarchy. I really do not subscribe to, you know, a quick and easy clitoral orgasm being anything less than, you know, some big transcendent cervical orgasm or whatever. And like, you know, I'm describing it as like this big explosive well of pleasure, but it has so many different flavors and it expresses itself in so many ways, including non-sexual. So I do just want to name that just off the bat, that I think what we're working with, and this is a very like tantric and Taoist view, is truly life force energy, that eros, erotic energy, pleasure energy is sort of raw creative power inside of us. So I think that is one part of orgasm that I like to reframe for people. So that's why I say you can have orgasmic living. You know, if you really stand there and look at a sunset, that can be an orgasmic experience. And a definition of orgasm that I love to teach is that there's actually three different phases of it. And the first phase is pleasure. So some sort of sensation of pleasure. It can be calm, it can be joy, it can be bubbly, it can be fiery, it can be physical, it can be energetic, some sort of pleasure. That then expands. So it grows in some sort of way. And I think that the most common way that we think expansion happens is more of a big explosion or like a climax, right? But when we use the word expansion, it actually opens up the realm of orgasm, because it could mean expansion in like it goes down and like ripples out like an ocean. It can be expansion in the sense that, you know, you can cycle it consciously through your entire body. It can be a subtle expansion. And then the third phase is some sort of mind shift or mind state change, with the most common one being surrender. So there's usually a feeling of I'm giving myself over to an experience. You sort of lose your everyday ego, even if it's for like a split second, and you fully become in a moment. The mind state shift can also be a release of emotion. So, you know, people cry or maybe have anger when they orgasm, or, you know, during sex, or it could be like a complete quietude and like a deep sense of like inner peace. But what I love about this model of orgasm, the pleasure expansion, and then a mind state shift, is as you can see, it just blows open what orgasm can be and doesn't limit it just to the physical, which, you know, is a model that was mainly modeled after people with penises, which I think does a disservice to all of us, even people with penises, because they can also experience full body and multiple orgasms through this definition.
I love knowing that I didn't know that about people with penises, that they could do that. And also have felt so much pressure to perform orgasm for partners And something that feels really beautiful about what you teach is that the pleasure is projected inward and the experience, it's like, can be shared and you're partnered, and yet your work is very much centered on the experience you're having. And so can you talk about that shift of, well, one, performative sex, because that's at least what I was conditioned into, especially from a Christian background. It's like, you just, you better be down to give your husband what he wants. And very, just very like modeled after porn, but don't look at porn, but modeled after it.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's interesting. But I'm wondering how you reclaimed this pleasure inside yourself, and then how you ended up inviting a partner into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that one of the views that I like to teach, that I like to invite my clients into, is turning around this whole concept of like projecting your love outwards onto other people or partners or other sexual experiences, and this concept of becoming your own best lover. And so I very, very consciously decided to go into an exploration of, what if I became my own best lover? What if I literally bought myself flowers? What if I talked to myself the way that my most ideal lover would? I took myself out on dates, like literally would date myself. And then that expanded into the bedroom. What if I actually made love to myself? And I think that that is a big game-changing factor in terms of how we self-pleasure and how we develop a sexual relationship with ourselves. And so anyone who is looking to change that performative nature, what I suggest, and this is why the core of my courses focus more around this experience so far, is to start to create times where you are developing a loving and sacred sexual relationship with yourself. And so, yes, that means making love to yourself. That means treating yourself like your own best lover. And what I have come to find is that that actually, like, it almost like radiates you with this confidence and the self-knowing and everything from the inside, that it doesn't have to be a performance anymore. The performance sort of melts away because you're actually in it and you're actually feeling good about it. And that, honestly, I think is also, in my experience, after then starting to have sex with partners afterwards, it's almost like when someone does see it, an authentic version of you being in your pleasure, I see it as almost like the biggest gift, like, I don't know, like the most like beautiful show that you could see, is someone being like really that in their bodies and that in themselves, that then it like pours over onto someone else.
So beautiful. And I know that there are a lot of people who listen to the podcast who also come from that evangelical or a religious context, if it's not even the same that I come from. And I was asked to confess masturbation to my mentor every week through college. I was like, it was very much shamed. I wasn't raised in a household that was very conservative about sex. I actually was raised in a very, like, my mom was very open about teaching me about masturbation, about my body. And then I indoctrinated myself into religion. And so it was kind of like, oh, this, the thing that I know is okay, isn't okay here. And there was a lot of shame around being a very sexual person and, you know, the confessing my masturbation. And are you familiar with the Lifehouse skit?
No.
Do you know what this is? Some people listening are going to know what this is, but it's essentially a skit in the church where someone plays Jesus, someone plays the devil, someone plays all of the tempting forces, and then someone plays the person who's being tempted. And I played, of course, that person who was being tempted by money and sex. And it was on Easter Sunday at my church with thousands of people present. And then I had to confess a porn addiction that I did not have in front of everyone, because they didn't, the truth was I masturbated sometimes. And I told my mentor about it and they're like, she's not masturbating anymore through, you know, this intensive mentorship where she's confessing her masturbation. but they didn't want me to say I masturbated. They wanted me to say I had a porn addiction because they didn't want to implant the thought of a woman touching herself in any of the minds in anyone in the church, which is also just like, there's so many layers to that story. But I share it because I know that so many people listening have very similar experiences, even if it's not as dramatic, about touching themselves or even like the idea of making love to myself, being like, even if it's an option as far as time, like not an option in the unconscious.
Yeah. Well, firstly, thank you for sharing that story. And yeah, I have so much compassion for that. And I think it's very hard for me to come across a client who hasn't had a similar thing, whether it's religious or cultural, or familial. And what I do suggest is, if going into the core, going into the body feels overwhelming and it feels like there's too much shame or maybe too much shutdown, to have so much love for yourself, first and foremost, and deep patience with yourself. I think something that I love to teach is, you know, we may not have had the safety and the environment externally, but we can start to create that safety within ourselves. So within me, can I be safe to explore at my own pace? Can where I've been in my pain, can that be safe here with between me and myself, right? And that's why I like to teach my 5% pleasure rule as one of the first ways to start engaging with pleasure. And the 5% pleasure rule is really about, in every single moment of your life, how can you make it just 5% more pleasurable? And I find that this small and doable step, something like lighting a candle while you're eating your takeout dinner, or you know, putting a pretty flower on your desk just while you're working so that you have something beautiful to look at, it starts to work in these more subtle ways to your nervous system to first just say, it's okay to feel good. It's okay to choose feeling good. And then what I would recommend is, you know, then starting to give yourself really loving non-sexual touch, right? Can you explore your own body just by like hugging yourself? The people can't see me, but you know, gently stroking your own skin. I remember the first time I kissed my own arm and just like sobbing because I realized I had never given that love to myself and in this physical embodied way. And so I would say equal parts like deep care for the shame and then engaging in ways that feel doable, where you begin to increase what I call your pleasure capacity, which means like how much your system can hold the sensation of pleasure, because it is highly sensational. And then also to, you know, shame is having the same stimulus, the same context, the same thing happen with a new reaction. So even if you are, you know, just touching your own body, and the new reaction is like, it is safe for me, at least here with myself, you know, in the privacy, that starts to help the shame. And then community and having these conversations, safe distance from sources of shame, being able to name the difference between those sources and yourself, I think is a really important step. And so there's so many different ways that we can engage with holding, I think almost like loving and melting shame is how I like to think of it.
I love the idea of it melting away. And it brings up something else for me, because you mentioned violence in your life early on, and those who've experienced violence, be it sexual or otherwise, that doesn't go into shutdown, but goes into the inability to perceive and discern where something is dangerous. Mm-hmm. Because I do speak to people who maybe didn't come from a religious context and don't have that background, but experience different kinds of trauma around sex or their body. And I'm wondering if the process that you hold is similar for the different kinds of sexual trauma.
Yeah. I would say that the process that I describe is that, and I would say working, you know, with someone who can really help somatically move some of the freeze, some of the grief or anger that might happen in your body. So also just regular good old trauma resolution work, which is actually where my journey started. So I think that's really important to name that I forgot in my previous story was before I was able to go fully into the sexual realm, I did spend about 2 years specifically doing trauma resolution work through different programs and with a coach, Rachel Maddox. And that really helped a ton in terms of unwinding those pieces. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm thankful you named that because I know I've held space for people who are really wanting to go into all the really fun, juicy, what they, you know, they wanted is the fun, juicy orgasms and all of that. But there was some lack of feeling safe to go there. And I loved what you mentioned about like lighting a candle in beauty, because it does offer just a really simple, safe portal to beauty, celebration. Was that something like beauty, celebration, pleasure? Was that something that was a part of your life growing up, or was it something you came into in your sexual journey?
Yeah, I would say it really was. Well, I think it has been something that I've always been drawn towards. So, you know, for the people out there who are into astrology and all the personality things, like I'm an ENFP, I'm a 7 on the Enneagram, which is just like wants to try everything. And you know, I'm a Libra rising.
So I was wondering, I'm a Libra rising ENFP also. And so that must be why I was like, I told you in the beginning, I'm like, I just resonate with the beauty and like, yeah, okay. I get it.
I think it was always natural for me, but I will really deeply credit Regina Thomas Hauer, Mama Gina, who wrote a book called Pussy. And actually reading that book, where she talks about pleasure as medicine, as fuel, turn on as a sense of power, was really when I started diving deep into creating more everyday pleasure in my life. And so that was the beginning of my own sexual empowerment journey as well. I remember I bought a red silk robe for myself, and I had never worn anything red at that time. And it was just the first thing that I ever bought that was like sensual, literally, because it was silky, a little bit sexy, and it was just for me. I wasn't showing it to anybody. It was just for me. And so, yeah, I do want to name like those little steps as well really help to build that foundation through which then you can like go into the orgasm and things like that.
And I know no one can see you, but you're showing up today with red lipstick and a very colorful, like a seemingly dress shirt outfit. And so it's clear that that has, you know, expanded beyond just that red silk robe that you bought years ago. Oh, I want to hear if you're open to sharing about inviting a partner in and sharing this part of yourself with your partner, the vulnerabilities of it, maybe the sticky parts of it. Would you be open to sharing some of your journey with that?
Yeah. So I was single when I started this journey. So I did have some of that time to be with myself. And I had committed to only being in my deepest, deepest truth with whoever the next person was that I dated. And just for context too, you know, that initial violence that I experienced as a kid led me into really, really, really like abusive, emotionally abusive relationships. That was my pattern up until this one, my most recent relationship. And this is another archetype that I kind of like to teach. And it is a concept of the initiatrix or initiatrix. And the initiatrix is the person who kind of holds that, like, that radiance and that knowledge and, you know, all of that juice from developing that sexual relationship with self, and almost like initiates, holds space for the other person to meet them. And I like the energy of the initiatrix and like the invitation for someone to meet them, because it's not like, I'm going to tell you exactly what to do. I mean, unless you're like into that, that's totally fine. But it's almost like, I find that when you create the sexual relationship with yourself, you hold an energy of almost like a vision that you can invite your partner into. So anytime I think that we're inviting our partner into something that might feel edgy, I think that connecting to a mutual North Star, a mutual like beautiful vision, is a really good first step. And so it might seem really vulnerable, but I think it clearly expressing the desire for the vision for your sexual relationship, you know, I want it to be deeply intimate. I want it to be a space where we can be connected. I want it to be a space where we can be vulnerable and where healing can be in the room and it can be messy and we don't have to have orgasms all the time, that it is a part of our discovery of each other and, you know, all of that. I think that that really helps a partner to get on board, because otherwise we can sort of come with the energy of like, well, I want you to do this, or I want you to like make love to me like this, or I'm expecting us to have sex 7 days a week and for you to give me orgasms all the time. Like, that's not what it's about. And I think that enrolling into a mutual vision with one another really helps with that container for the two of you. And I think doing your own healing work helps with that compassion and that patience with the other person as well.
Yeah. I love that idea of when the relationship is one where you really want to be committed, or if not, maybe you can enroll someone in a vision that you're dating casually as well. Just having clear communication that feels like it creates such a sense of safety, just as I'm hearing it. Like, that would feel so nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh yeah. And I just find that, you know, when people are met with that, some people, it might scare the crap out of them, but I think for most people, it also feels medicinal for them, that they can have permission to be and embrace all of that as well.
Well, it's certainly edgy if you're not having that sexual relationship with yourself. That's how I'm like understanding it. If that relationship with yourself, like, how would you know what the vision is that you want if there's no self-sovereignty in the pleasure? Oh, goodness. Okay, you mentioned something a minute ago that I wanted to circle back to, and it was about the mindset shift of surrender and like losing ego identity, letting go of control. Goodness. Sometimes I don't feel like it. Like, it's like the tight grip on my identities, ego, control, all of that, which I want to honor in myself and in people listening, a lot of that can come from lack of safety in life. And so gripping on, that could be a trauma response. And like you mentioned, trauma resolution to create that container of inner safety. But I'm curious, I want to talk about like the delicious parts of it with you. And I want to talk about what happens when you are in that surrender, even if it's just a glimpse. Like, what changes about your life through having more of those experiences?
Whew. Oh my God. I love this question. And, you know, this again is like a very tantric Taoist view, but it's almost like the experience of deep surrender and orgasm and loss of your own ego and everything like that. It sounds a little bit like an experience of enlightenment, right? In the sense that we melt away the limitations of who we really think we are, and we give ourselves over to the true underlying power and love and beauty that is possible in the world and in the universe. And that is why I truly do see orgasm, self-pleasure, as a spiritual practice in the sense that when you give yourself that embodied experience, it's almost like, how can you not then walk out into the world and be like, whoa, like there is so much more than meets the eye and it's in me. I think that's the other part that I kind of mentioned in the beginning. It's not just experience that like, oh, that exists as a concept out here, but I have felt it now inside of my own body. And I know that to be an experience of truth in this way of, yeah, of really having been there. And then I think it also, yeah, it helps with surrender to life. And I think that that is an understated gift of actually being able to let yourself receive life and enjoy it in every moment, right? Like, can you surrender to how delicious your coffee is in the morning? Can you surrender to like, oh, like how beautiful a moment of just like laughing with your friends is, right? I think we can bring this concept everywhere. And that's why I talk about orgasmic living. I think it's all about learning how to let the good in.
What has been the, like, I love that phrase, how to let the good in. And I think that I've been having a lot of conversations about this, Anne, because in the last week, I have received three actually in-person, like face-to-face conversations with friends, colleagues, people that I like really respect from the interwebs. And all of them have been like, I really didn't know how to feel about you because you let life be good. And I hated that. And I have been thinking about how I feel about receiving so many messages like this, especially recently. I'm like, what's going on? And it through those conversations, you know, they were shared in like a safe way and shared, you know, people were being honest in a way that was like healing. But it has had me thinking, what keeps us from letting the good in? Because I think that like just beauty and celebration and pleasure, like you're saying, is something that is a birthright. And well, one, I'm wondering, do people ever say these things to you? Like, how do you, what, okay, you're just rolling around in cash on your Instagram. Go check it out if you're listening. It's definitely there. What do you receive whenever, like, how do I want to ask this? Why do you think that so many people have such a complicated relationship with letting the good in and watching someone else let the good in?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think there is the classic, you know, like projection, which is normal and fine and human, that something that we perceive is dangerous, someone else is exhibiting. And I think that there has been a very, you know, I think it's very directly connected to oppression and supremacy in all of the different ways, in the sense that in order for some people, some group, no matter, you know, however we want to divide it, to have power, other people must remain powerless. And I think that because of this idea, many of us have been raised to think goodness is bad, pleasure is scary, an immense amount of love is terrifying, it's wrong, it's selfish, all of these things. And when you trace it back to the origins of what systems or what ideologies have created that, it is almost always in relationship to wanting to oppress a certain population of people from feeling good and therefore keeping them away from that. So, you know, anything in life that holds an immense amount of power, it's going to have that big duality, that big charge. And, you know, I'm going to speak to like women and, you know, femininity, because we've lived in a patriarchal world for a long time, there is no mistake. There is a direct relationship between the suppression of women and ripping them away from the biggest source of their own power. What is the one thing that makes the world go round right now in terms of advertising and just like life in general? What is the one thing that will stop everybody in their tracks? A beautiful, erotic woman, a beautiful, erotic anything. That is how powerful it is. And actually, Layla Martin said this. She said that a woman's sexuality is the most powerful force on the planet for everyone except for the woman herself. And that's intentional.
Mm. So what I'm hearing, that was so powerful. What I'm hearing is, I mean, those projections, sure, they might come from little insecurities, but it's actually something bigger that's going on, that we're almost keeping ourselves and others in check so that we don't get in trouble by the big patriarchal system, because there actually are sometimes consequences to being the erotic beings that we are. And if we move into safer and safer spaces, not always. I want to name that too.
Yes, exactly. And I think I thank you for that nuance, because I think a lot of people, it's sort of like the Madonna horror complex that we have, especially as women. Like, we only have two choices. Either we're like completely shut off from our sexuality, or to be sexually empowered means that I have to be like in black lingerie showing my body to everybody and blah, blah, blah. There's like no room for nuance because we haven't had any healthy models of it. And so I think it can be very natural for people to be like, oh, well, you're going to become that whole side and be really dangerous, when that isn't necessarily true. And that's not sexual empowerment does not mean that, just for all of you who are listening. You know, it means being in relationship, loving relationship with yourself and your sexual nature.
Mm. One of my friends has been talking to me a lot about the reclamation of bimbo culture. And that, like, it's I'm distant from it, so I don't know as much about it as she does. But from what she was saying, it's like this reclamation of enormous fake breasts and the injections and like all of the things as like the thing you tried to make bad about me, I'm reclaiming for my own liberation. Mm-hmm. And I'm realizing how deeply internalized being sexual in the right way, being sexy in the right way, all these different nuances are just ways to keep us from our own power.
Mm-hmm.
So to circle it back to what we talked about in the beginning, you talked about how it's about your relationship with you. And so as we're deconstructing from supremacist culture, relationships to ourself, if you could, like, if there was one thing you would encourage everyone to do today to divest from that, from supremacy, and develop a stronger relationship with their own erotic power, what would you encourage people to do?
I would encourage them to, well, this is a practice that I give to my clients, so why not? I would encourage someone to purge. To literally free flow. You can set a timer for 10 minutes, however long you need to, just free flow every single judgment that you have about sex, about sexuality, from all of the different sources that you've got it from. It doesn't matter. Like, this is not a moment to be like, but I know better and I know this isn't true. Like, no, just like let it all out and then look at it and just name the separation between you and that thing, that it came from somewhere else that isn't you. And then I would start really contemplating, maybe even journaling on, surrounding yourself by content, having conversations with your friends. What do you want sex and pleasure and sexuality to mean for you? What do you want it to mean? Because nothing in life is inherently good or bad. It is your relationship to it and how you use it or embrace it or live with it that determines the quality of what something is. So really start to know that you have the power and that you can create your own definition and just keep on seeking out the things that will help affirm and keep that definition safe while giving yourself that that distance from the old stories and naming them clearly as not yours.
That's beautiful. I know we're nearing the end, and I'm curious about any ways that you work with people. If you could just tell us about that and the ways that, if anyone's like, I'm really curious, I also want to name that you are queer affirming, that you work with people of all sexual orientations because this is an inward journey. I ask that because, you know, I needed to know for myself, obviously. How do you invite people into this journey with you?
Yeah. Well, the ways that I directly work with people are in one-on-one coaching. I have group coaching programs, and I have a course coming out soon that is all about orgasms. I'm pretty sure it's going to be called Orgasmic Radiance and is going to be like the essentials of orgasm and creating a sacred, loving self-pleasure practice. So that is coming out soon. And then I just share all the time on Instagram and on my email newsletter. So I'm sure you'll have the links to that. So come by. I truly do see my community as like fam and friends. And so, yeah, feel free to DM me directly. Let me know how this conversation landed for you, all of that. And also honoring like whatever level you want to engage. Everyone is welcome.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And I really wanted to talk about pleasure and business, and we just didn't get there with the juiciness of everything else. And so if you're listening, just please go to Anne's Instagram and like look at the reels. That content is just so funny and delicious. You're really good at reels. I'm really enjoying them. There was one that was like, what does sexual liberation mean? It was like wearing lingerie all the time. And you were like, we'll not be doing that. I just thought that was so cute. So maybe we'll have another conversation hopefully sometime about receiving money and the connection between receiving money and pleasure and business. Are you ready for rapid fire?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So the first question is, what is your spiritual background?
I think my deepest spiritual background is like in Vietnam, it's connected to Buddhism. So I think people that have just been committed to like enlightenment and awakening for centuries on end. I do deeply, deeply want to honor Tantra and Taoism as huge influences in my work, particularly as of late. And so I would say those are the two traditions that I am most actively personally studying and practicing in my life.
Beautiful. How do you know when you know?
My pussy pulses and says yes.
No one has ever given that answer before. You all must know how. Has it always been that way or only after your awakening?
Only after my awakening. A very conscious time of listening to my pussy and asking her yes or no questions over and over again. But I would say, I mean, honestly, it's like pussy, heart, and like soul. But I like to use pussy as my guide.
Yeah, like, but pussy, heart, soul, like almost like same, 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 like different expressions of the same in an interesting way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I'll be thinking about that answer for a while. What identities have you had to let go of to own your fullness today?
I think honestly, I would have to say like, I don't even know how to say this, like secondary, less than, almost like assimilated, I would say. It's related to being a woman of color. So I think I had to release my assimilated identity in order to be who I really am, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Thank you for sharing. What are you most enjoying learning right now?
I'm actually really enjoying learning more everyday sensual practices. So how to use everyday life as a portal into the divine.
Mm-hmm. What does grace mean to you?
It means opening up to the blessing of love from the universe and inviting it in to guide you and help you.
Mm, that's beautiful. What is your go-to coffee shop order?
I love a Vietnamese iced coffee.
What is different about that? Is it the beans? Is it the way the milk is?
Yeah, it's the beans. It's a drip coffee that drips into ice with condensed milk with like Arabica beans usually.
That sounds so delicious.
It's Yum. Very good and very strong.
Yeah, and probably sweet because condensed milk is sweet, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Okay, I'm going to have to figure out where I can taste this. And the last question is, what do you want?
I'm on a vacation in Hawaii with my lover and to hug all the people I haven't been able to hug all year.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. Hawaii was the last place, the last vacation I went before the pandemic. So I'm talk about pleasure, talk about lush.
Oh my God. Yes. It is all of that. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm envisioning you there now. It's going to be so delicious. And is there anything that you didn't say or any like loose threads that you want to tie in before we close?
No, I think all I feel called to say is whoever is listening to this right now, I want you to know that you can do this and pleasure can be your birthright. And it is so safe to thrive and to shine and to love the hell out of yourself.
Thank you so much for taking the time to tune into Everything Belongs. Whether you are listening while driving, while working, cleaning the house, taking care of the kids, or even just in the shower, wherever you're tuning in from, it means so much to have your ears listening to these conversations, conversations that I adore recording and sharing with you. If you have a couple extra minutes after listening to this podcast, it would mean so much to me if you took the time to leave a 5-star review on iTunes and even more specifically left a review in text that let me know what you're loving about it. I love hearing what episodes are your favorite, what you love about those episodes, and what guests really light you up. This, of course, helps me find more guests that you love hearing from and the content that you're really enjoying on the podcast. And also, it helps more people find the podcast and listen to it. I wanted to let you know also before we go that this month I am currently enrolling a program of mine called Serve It Up. And I mentioned it at the very beginning of this episode. It is a program, it's a creative business mastermind that I am so excited to start running in August. It is a no bullshit business zone, and it is where I'm going to be teaching business strategy, consulting, and coaching instead of doing that one-on-one for the rest of the year. In this program, I'm not just going to hand you all of my teachings, my personal business systems, and framework for coherent and integral marketing. This is so much more than that. I will be there call by call over the series of 10 calls in 90 days to support you, offer you live coaching and feedback, and help you implement it all in real time as you weave your inner vision into an abundant outer reality. We'll talk about intuitive launching, integral sales, leading a team, clarifying your signature offering and your unique medicine. This is a consulting container with me to distill, streamline, clarify, and implement your business strategy in real time. And like I have mentioned, you can sign up for the waitlist and receive a personal invite from me if you go to madisonmorrigan.com/serve-it-up. And once you join that waitlist, I will send you a personal invite within a couple days, and you will get all the information on the program, see if it's a good fit, and we'll know if this is something that can support you to grow your business and even clarify what you're doing and amplify your leadership even more. So it's madisonmorrigan.com/serve-it-up with the dashes in between each of the words. Thank you again for listening to this episode. It means so much that you're here. And I hope that you have a beautiful rest of your week.